Welcome to everyone that's viewing tonight, all our viewers. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the day that God has made. It didn't just show up. I often say this. This day was so formed, formulated, thought out, planned out, and purposed. And the Word says, I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. We can make a determination on how happy we're going to be. Today in our world, and they probably said the same thing 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, in our world today, it may seem difficult or hard to do, but the reality is the Scriptures say all things work together for good. You know, so what is it about what we experience that either strengthens us or makes us weak? Tonight, I just want to break the Word down. We're going to be talking about your mind. I want to say this to you. Your curiosity will lead you, and it'll either promote you or it can defeat you. The Word says that all things work together for good, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. And a lot of times it's like, you know, I know at some point, you know, I believe God's going to bring things together where they're supposed to be, but it really is a sound word from the Word of God. Keeping in mind, everything in life was formed, created. It didn't just show up. It just didn't happen. It was created. It was purposed by God and by the Word of God. And that's the evidence on the inside of us that says your future is going to be great. God has blessed me, not God is going to bless me. I am blessed. This is a day. God made this day. He created it. He formed it. He formulated it. He purposed me in it. And I determined to be glad and rejoice in it. And those can be words that are soft-tenored sometimes if you don't understand how to get there. I mean, what do you do to have peace in your mind? You know, and I remember as a young boy, I was 5 years old when I lost my dad in a work-related accident, and I remember the turmoil even as a five-year-old, even this many years down the road. But certain events in our lives can set us up for fears, for doubt, for just expecting and anticipating the worst-case scenario. And what typically happens is what if, the what ifs. And I want to say one more time, I'll probably say it several times, your curiosity will lead you. And it's important to be careful, to be watchful as to what you're curious about. I mean, what interests you? I've said many times what entertains you is going to train you. A lot of times we figure, well, you know, I know this is this or this is that, or I know it's make-believe or it's not real, but we need to make sure that whatever is entertaining us, because if you find entertainment value in it, there's a curiosity there, and curiosity leads you to treasures hunting. It leads you to looking, to seeking, to finding, to delving in. It makes your mind curious for sometimes the things you shouldn't be curious for, and that's why the Word says, I will keep him in perfect peace. In Isaiah 26, says he'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. And then you say, yeah, but you know, all this stuff happened all around me. You can't control the stuff that takes place around you. And we're not supposed to control the stuff that takes place around us. But the Word says, God said, I'll keep you in perfect peace. And that word perfect in the Greek literally means complete. I'll keep you completely at peace when your mind is stayed on me because you trust in me. And here's what's so important about that is the nature of our mind from God is that we hear from God. You are created to innately hear from God. I mean, the Word is organic in everyone that will listen for it. That's why he said, if you seek me, you find me. So how do you get peace in your mind? I remember, again, as a five-year-old boy experiencing chaos, and you would think, or at least, you know, even later on in my years, I used to think, man, how can kids be so disturbed in our society today? I mean, they had a carefree life, right? They just can't be that much to wreck your life because you don't have that much responsibility. I mean, you know, what, take out the trash, do the chores, you know, obey your parents. But then I reflect back on the fears that tried to grab me as a young kid because of one incident that took place in my life. And it literally became a wall of interference growing up, and it became something that God led me beyond. And it was just the fear of bad things happening. You know, what if something else happens? You know, you lost your dad. What if it happens to your mom? Or it goes down the list. Our minds are created to be centered upon the things that God is not just saying to us from an exterior point, but what he's revealing from the inside. Remember, he said, I'll write my word and my law in your heart and in your mind, I'll write them. But, you know, what do you do? And I want to share with you what God revealed to me, what I found in the word that gave me such peace of mind. And I say to my wife all the time, so many different things that happen, I say to her, I say, it just doesn't bother me. And my wife will say to me continually, I love that about you. And it's not anything that I'm trying to do, but it's a mind that I got from God. It's a mind that you inherit from God because it is the mind of God that created you and placed you where you are. But we become curious and we take on the mind of the structure of the tenor of the world. We take on the mind of politics, or we take on the mind of the economy, and we're afraid. And maybe it could be anything. It could be bills. It could be medical things in your life, whatever. And you start looking at as the what if. What if this happened? And again, I as a young boy, I was an expert in the what ifs. What if this and what if that? But the scriptures tell us that the word of God is sure. There are no what ifs in the word of God. So how do you get your head there? How do you wrap your mind around this in such a way that the mind of the word becomes the mind of your life? And remember, the mind is literally the kingdom. Your mind is your kingdom. However your mind facilitates the life, however your mind functions, put things together, that's the kingdom that's going to rule you. It's just like being in a natural kingdom, or being in the United States or United Kingdom or wherever it is you would live. There are rules, there are regulations, there are ordinances, and they govern life. And you either resist them, you fight against them, or you surrender to them and you're not a lawbreaker. Well, in the Word of God, the scriptures tell us that it says in James 1, it says, a double-minded individual is unstable. And we can think, well, I'm not going to be double-minded. But being double-minded isn't necessarily something you work at. Being double-minded is misinterpreting what's going on in your life. And in James, I'm actually going to read this here. In James, it says, I'm going to back up a little bit. James 1, and we're going to begin with verse 2. And it says, count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you meet trials or various kinds of trying or trials or the trying of your faith. For you know that the testing of your faith, or we can put it this way, you should know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So James is coming from a totally different mindset, because when you read count it all joy, brothers, when you fall into different trials or the trying of your faith, you know, it's pretty common to think, man, what's this guy talking about? But he's talking from a different mind. He's not talking from a mind that, man, guys, stand in there, stand strong, because when it comes, I know it's hard, but you're going to make it. That's not at all what he's saying. What he's saying is count it, consider it, you know, make this an understanding in your mind. These things that are coming around you that you can't control don't have to be controlled, because that control, that destiny, that purpose is not on the things around you. That's purpose of fortitude, of faith, of blessing, of honor, of this is going to work out incredible. It's on the inside of you. It's not on the outside. We used to sing a little song, it's greater on the inside than on the outside. It's greater on the inside than on the outside. And the point is James is coming from this perspective, is saying, listen, I understand something. I have a revelation. He said, when things you can't control are coming around you, first thing, count it joy. He didn't say, try to figure out how it's going to work out and become joyful. He didn't say, think about, yeah, this feels good, this feels joy. He didn't say that. He said, first of all, set the position of your mind, set your kingdom up, bring the ordinance and the order, bring the authority of your kingdom into position, your mind. Your mind is your kingdom. And know all things, I'm counting this joy, I'm counting this joy, what's taking place is a joyful moment. That's prophecy. I mean, everything from the kingdom is coalescing right here, and your mind is finding a straight shot to the way you're supposed to think, because the evidence isn't around you. The evidence that good things are going to happen or that it's going to turn out all right isn't around you. And oftentimes, many times, there is no evidence that it's going to be all right, or let alone it's going to be really great. The evidence is on the inside of you, and it's the kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus said, he said, pray that the kingdom of God would be manifest in you, in the earth right here, that's what this is, in the earth, just as it is in heaven. Step back for just a minute. Keep in mind that we came from the earth. We are earth. The word calls us dust, but we are quickened. When Christ came, all the dynamics changed, meaning everything that came against us had to work for us. All the sin, all the debt, all the indebtedness, all the condemnation, all those things were overcome on the cross, and this is how it was overcome. Jesus said, I did it for you. Think through me. Everything you know about me, oh, you don't know much about me? Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn about me. Take my yoke on you. Learn about me. I'm meek, I'm lowly. You're going to find rest in your mind. When your mind's at rest, you're the most powerful that you can possibly be. It's like just like the most possible or powerful posture you can take is on your knees. It doesn't necessarily mean you always have to be physically on your knees, but you drive your mind to this one idea. And this is what Jesus said. And first, let me finish. Count it all joy when you fall into different types of the trying of your faith, knowing that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, what we're talking about. Nothing's moving me because I count it joy. Anything happens, I count this joy. I count this something. God is doing a new thing. God has prepared my mind. God is about to bring something out of me. I don't need things around me to change. I don't need politics or policies. I don't need the economy to change. I don't need gas prices to drop. We've all like to see that, of course. But I don't need that to happen. I have found such a calm, resolute in my mind. So what I'm doing right now is I'm bearing witness to what God has shown to me. Just as James or as Peter or as Paul or as John would say, I'm testifying of this. I have found such a calm. I have never driven up to the gas prices and had such peace. And I don't have a small vehicle that I drive. It likes gas. But it's not that the prices aren't high. It isn't that I'm not aware of the things that are going around in the economy. But what I'm more aware of and most curious about is what is God doing right now, because the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, all the nations and everyone that dwells in it. I know God is at work. I know that I am called according to His purpose. You're called. You are called according to His purpose. Everything has to work together in a way that it's good. But you can't see it if you're curious about the wrong things. What robs you of your peace is you're curious about the wrong things. What if this doesn't work out? What if I lose my job? What if they fire me? What if they let me go? I mean, what if no one wants to buy my product? What if my new idea blows up and it doesn't work? But James says, if you can't figure it out, this is what you do. Consider it joyful. I can't figure it out. I can't necessarily understand why it's going on. I'm excited about this. I'm counting it joy, because there is a work going on the inside of me. The kingdom of God is overcoming every natural attribute or every natural force on the outside to do the one thing God said He wanted to do in the beginning. Man, woman, I want you to take dominion over the earth. I want you to know what it feels like to be fully equipped, fully empowered, and totally unmovable by anything that goes on around you. So you're the one that's making the decisions. So your faith is moving the tide of time. So you're moving the hands of time. You're declaring it's not going to be a long time before I see my field produce the fruit, or whatever I've sown, whatever I've believed, whatever God has said He's going to do in your ministry, in your life, in your family, in your home. But you have to stay in your anointing. What is your anointing? I count it all joy when the trying of my faith happens. I'm steadfast. And the word says, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, so you don't lack anything. Come on, that's really the fear. I'm going to miss something. I'm going to lose something. I'm going to lack something. I'm going to be embarrassed. You have to remember, you have to stay in your anointing. And it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, and that's what we're sharing right now is the wisdom of God. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to everyone without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea and driven and tossed by the wind. And that's everything that's going on around. I want to say this to you. Don't be curious about the news of man. Be curious about, I read the news all the time. I say that all the time. I read the news every day, but the news I read isn't fictitious. It isn't uncertain. The news I read is prophetic. It's God. It's His Word. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And it tells me what's going to go on, what's going to take place. It tells me how it's going to unfold. Every single time, no matter what year it is, whether it's the 1800s or 1,000 years ago, or not that I lived that long ago, but or today in 2022 or 2023. I mean, I'm not offended by time. Time can't offend me. Events can't offend me. And the Word teaches us, don't be offended. Jesus literally said, listen, when you see it looks like the world's coming to an end, this is Jesus. He's saying, don't be afraid. Now, it's not like He's just trying to make us feel better. He's putting your mind, the kingdom of God. Let the kingdom of God be manifest in you. What is that? It's not that God's just in control. It's that God is putting you in control because He's in charge. God's putting you in control of your mind and your thoughts. I have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear in this economy. You have nothing to fear in 2022. You can be afraid. You can find a lot of reasons. If you're curious about the wrong news, you will be afraid. If you become intrigued by things that feed the lust of your mind or the passion or the desires of your flesh or your fears, then you're going to lose your way and you're going to become afraid. Fear has nothing to do with who God has created you to be other than to fear the Lord your God. And this is what Jesus said. He's talking and they're asking him about, you know, when this guy, you know, this woman had several husbands and who's going to be her husband at the end. And Jesus said, you err, you don't understand the scriptures. But he walks into something. The word says that they saw that he answered wisely. One of the scribes, one of the teachers saw that he answered wisely. So a challenge. I see you're answering wisely. And listen, when you begin to speak wise, the world will challenge you. But it's not a challenge to us. It's a challenge for us. It's like a David and Goliath scenario. I mean, this guy's coming. You can look at it one way. You can look at it like Saul did. You can look at it like David's brothers did. This is a bad day. I mean, we're afraid. I don't know what's going to happen because this guy and his army are clearly able to overpower us and overcome us. I mean, it's pretty evident. You can think the same thing about the economy today. It's pretty evident that we're looking at some tough times coming down. Let's walk back over to James. He said, listen, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. God has already predestined me. You're listening to news. You become curious about the wrong thing. Your curiosity is leading you down a path of fear. You're fearing instead of prophesying. You're doubting instead of understanding the truth. No, the truth and the liberty you'll find in the truth will make you completely free. I'm not afraid, but listen, you can experience things on a negative level where someone else is experiencing them on a bright or a happy level. Same day, same experience, same things, and the outcome can be totally different because according to your faith, be it unto you. That's why Jesus said, this is what I want you to pray. I want you to pray that the kingdom of God will be manifest in your mind and in your heart. I want it to be manifest so when these trying times come, and they will, they don't try you. You try them. It's like David said, I don't know what you're afraid of. I can't believe that you're allowing this uncircumcised of heart, literally what is what he's saying, to defy who you are and the God that you serve. He has no authority. There's no power here. You're not fighting a battle of war, you're not fighting the battle of warriors and an army. You're fighting the battle of your mind. As a matter of fact, you've forgotten your way. You've lost your mind. And so, you know, the first idea is to equip David, which Saul tried to do, and we try to do the same thing today. We try to equip ourselves for the time that's coming. You know, let's make sure our cupboards are full, make sure our bathtub is full of water. Remember those days? I remember at that season and that time, I didn't have a stockpile of anything because God told me what was going to take place. And so I had no fear. And the people asked me, should we stockpile? Should we build up? And this is when, clock turned to the year 2000, right? And everything's going to collapse and everything's going to go down. God will always keep his people. More than that, God is going to make sure his people bear witness that he is God, that he is Lord, and that he is in full authority of putting you in control of the earth that he's given us. Remember, it belongs to him, but he said, I've given you dominion over it. So this is what Jesus said when they came to him and they said, he's talking and he said, you're erring from the kingdom, or you're erring from the truth. You don't understand what you're talking about. The kingdom is something totally different. The kingdom we live in is something totally different. That's why people will bless you when maybe people that are doubting and living in doubt and unbelief are dealing with pretty tough times. But if you're curious, stop being curious about the problems around you. Stop being curious about the things that are people are going through that are devastating or fearful or doubtful. My daughter said to me today, she said, I am tired of listening to the bad things that are going on, the trying times that people are going through. She said, I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to think about it. Set my mind on God. Set my mind on the good things. What is God saying? What is the word of the Lord? David, that's what he said. Here's the word of the Lord. Goliath, you're going to fall. You made a lot of noise. You have a huge army. You know, they're preparing me like we try to prepare for a bad day. Stop preparing for a bad day or you may end up with a bad day. Stop becoming curious as to what the news has to say may happen, what wars and rumors of wars may take place. Jesus said, when you hear these things, he didn't say, look at them. He said, lift up your head for your redemption. Your day of reckoning is at hand. I'm giving you an opportunity to make a difference. I mean, if you will, in a world where everyone's starving and the crops aren't growing, I'm going to give you the seed of wonder. I'm going to give you the seed that's going to cause the field to just flourish. I'm going to give you the ideas that make the difference. I mean, I see us in a time and in a season where God is giving us such treasures that he has left us. Remember, Jesus said, the scriptures say, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. I've given them all to you. So then when they come to Jesus and they say, the scribe says, I got one for you, Jesus. What's the greatest commandment? How are you supposed to choose when all the commandments are great? And Jesus goes to the one that nails it all. And he says, and Jesus answered, and this is in Mark 12 and verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, the most important is, hear, O Israel, or hear, O nations of the earth, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. What does that mean? God's the answer. It's not about Goliath. It's not about the economy. It's not about the news. And I want to say something to you. These are not the worst days of your life. These are not the most challenging days of our nation. This is the greatest day of your life. This is the count it all joy. I mean, every generation has gone through its trying times, and the one that stood out was the one that stood up and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And Jesus said, this is the most important. He said, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength. And what he's literally saying is you shouldn't be afraid. You should know that I'm God with you. And you should love me with all your concerns, with all your curiosity, with all your projection of the future. You should know that I am the Lord God. There's only one. There's Lord. There's only one God. There's only one that is making and determining what life is going to be on planet Earth. And if you'll set your mind on being curious as to what God has to say, which is the opposite side of the coin as to what people are saying. The word says the natural mind, the carnal mind, is not subject to the laws of God. It can't be. It won't be. It's never going to be. But we get so concerned about, you know, a pimple on your face or a bump on the knee or a curve in gas prices. Listen, God will facilitate every single thing you need, but you need to stop doing two things. Stop being curious about the wrong thing and stop comparing yourself with anyone else. You can't clearly see where God is leading you if your mind is fixated on what someone else is doing or what someone else is saying, and you can't be single-minded if you're double-minded. I mean, which is it? Is it the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it the good news, the word of the living God, what God has said to you? Is that the news, or is it what man is making up? I mean, keep in mind, God is the one that created, that formulated, that set the world on its axis. God is the one that called out your name. God is the one that ordained you, and he didn't call us and just say, here you are, good luck, I hope you believe right. What he did is he put his word of purpose and destiny on the inside of you. It's not far away. Every single living, breathing human upon planet Earth has a purpose divinely ordered from God. And no matter what takes place in your life, no matter what comes around you, and if you're some of you are out there right now thinking, yeah, but all, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. You're yeah-butting and you're curious. You're becoming curious about the wrong things. James says, I count it joy. Something joyful is going on in my life. If you can't see it, you're not going to live it. And we so much want to be a witness to people in the world. And I want to say this to you. You can't bear witness to something you don't own. You can only share what you own. You can only share what belongs to you. And the power, that orchestrated will of God, isn't someplace outside that you have to reach for, that you have to try and find, that you have to get from someone else. You won't find it in any place other than where God has said it is. And that's why James said, when the trying of my faith comes, I get excited. I count it a joyful thing. He was thinking out of a totally different element than the element of the news of the world or what people might say. Nothing's going to collapse your world because God has become your world. Nothing's going to pull you down. Nothing's going to suck you in. There were so many times throughout the Word. I remember one time when God said, you know, the Egyptians are going to be in total darkness because they just won't follow the cloud. They won't follow the pillar of fire. They won't believe the word of the Lord. I mean, I often think, how many people could have jumped on the wagon and said, I believe your God? Like Nebuchadnezzar, I believe the Lord your God. How many people could have escaped a time that they didn't have to deal with if they'd simply believed, I'm going to follow your cloud. I'm not curious about what man says he's going to do. I'm not curious about the weakness or the strength of government. I'm not curious about the strength or the weakness of the economy. I don't care what they're projecting. I care about what God's saying, because maybe man will project something that will take place, but God in the midst of it says, if you will prophesy, I'll put that power in your hands. I'll turn it around. I'll bless you. I'll show you the honor and I'll show you the favor of the Lord. Your mind is the gateway to your future, and your mind cannot be two-souled. It can't be two ideas at the same time. Who do you believe? As for me and my house, I decided to serve and believe God. I'm kept in perfect solitude, perfect peace, because my mind is stayed on God. I'm curious about one thing. What is God saying about me? I can hear the voice of the Lord because I'm his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. Your curiosity will lead you. Mark the things you're curious about. Set your mind on things above. Don't look at what is taking place around you so you have the power to stand in the light while other people are standing in the dark. And the only way you're going to be able to be a light to those that are in the dark is you have to own it yourself. You can't give away what doesn't belong to you. This is the greatest season of your life. This is a time unlike any other, because God is revealing insight and revelation to a generation that are hungry, that are afraid, that are broken. Your children can live in peace and in harmony. You can live in peace and harmony. You don't have to doubt the world that you're living in, because the world isn't in control. The economy is not ruling your life. It's not going to dictate what's in your bank account. Your faith is, your confidence, your peace of mind. A two-souled man is unstable in all their ways. Let not that person think they will receive anything of God. But it isn't that God isn't giving it. What it's saying is, you're not seeing what I've already given you. I've orchestrated your life to be one of authority and power. Only thing that's going to happen to me, only good will take place. Only good will pursue me. Only good will follow me all the days of my life, because I am blessed by the hand and the word of the Lord. So then how do I take a hold of this? I mean, what is it that I follow that makes this a little bit easier? You know, what is it I can tap into that I can stay on course so it doesn't feel like it's such a wrestle to believe what you're saying, Gary? So I know I can hear God speaking on the inside of me. Well, next Wednesday, I'm going to share the second part of what we're talking about right now. And I'm going to show you by the word what that power is, how it touches you, how it draws you in, so you're not having to try and pull yourself in. And there really is destined power for a mind of peace. And a mind of peace is complete. And it gives you the confidence that you're not lacking anything. This is the greatest season of your lives. Believe it, because it's a truth. And the truth is what's going to set you free. Appreciate, and I'm so thankful for the Word of God. And I'm excited to be able to share the Word with you. And I thank you for joining us. The altar is open for your support. And I'm going to say this to you. Your support means so much to this ministry. It enables us to do what we're doing tonight and so many other things that we're able to do. But it's more than that, because God will drive this regardless. But it's a connection of your faith. It's your heart. It's sowing a seed. And I often say, I encourage you to sow a seed in the soil of this word today. Put your finger on something, plant something in the ground, or you say, hey, I did something. Faith without works is dead. I'm sowing a seed in the word that I heard tonight. And it's my statement of prophecy. Something great is going to take place. And it will. It always does, because God is so faithful. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to join us. Tune in next Wednesday, same time. God is with you in all things. You have nothing to fear. And I want to encourage you to go out tonight. Open your window, open your door, in the middle of your house or in your car if you're driving. Go out with a prophetic shout.